Let me begin. I'm going to begin twice today, by the way, just so. You know, some preachers end like three or four times when they say, okay, coming to a conclusion, which really means they're not. You know, it's another 10 minutes. I'm going to have a double introduction. How's that? The elders asked me to share with you a little bit about what I want to do starting next Sunday morning in the adult Bible class. So I want you to come out. I hope you'll come out and be with us next Sunday morning for Sunday school and the adult class and the kids classes. Get started at 9 a.m. I will have to say that's an adjustment for me. So it used to be like 9:30 and 10:30 where Carrie and I were. And so it's I hope I won't be late to class. But if I am, I already know that there is someone that can get it started for us. But I want to tell you just a little bit about what I want to do next week, starting next week at 9 a.m. And trying to figure out where do you get started, you know, coming to a new congregation, coming to a new place, coming to a whole different life from a metropolitan area to, I heard of horses across the street when I, okay, and the smell of the derriere, however you want to use that term, and just however you use that term, the air from the dairy animals. It's different than Pittsburgh, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that it's different. So I'm trying to think, where do I get started when I don't know you? I don't know the community, the area. I spend a lot of time in, I've spent a lot of time in prayer since I was last here. And when it was decided that Carrie and I would move here and be a part of this church family, I started talking to different preachers and asking them, you know, what did you do when you first got to where you were going? And they said, you're right. You've been at Whitehall 24 years. You probably don't even remember what your first sermon. I said, I don't. I don't even remember yesterday, let alone 24 years ago. So I decided I wanted to get started with taking a look at the church in the book of Acts. Okay, so we're not going to do like a verse-by-verse study. That's not how I'm going to deal with the book of Acts. I want to take a look at how the church existed, how it came into existence, what those early disciples were like, some of the conflicts that they went through, how the church was a part of the community there both in Jerusalem, and then as it began to expand, kind of the mission of the church and that those really dynamic ministries that Paul had on his missionary journeys, and both how he was reaching out to some and how he had battles with others, and just kind of see how does the church exist in society today, and realizing that the book of Acts really shows us how the church has existed in society for 2,000 years. And so it's not a whole lot of difference. I mean, obviously, I'm not, you know, wearing some robe, and we're not walking around in sandals. Well, some of you may be walking around in sandals, but we don't dress the way they did 2,000 years ago. We don't talk and even use the language that they did 2,000 years ago. But the way in which we interact, the way the church interacts with society hasn't changed. And it's that fundamental book of history that the book of Acts, that I think will be good for us to just walk through for several months and just kind of take a look at some of the stories along the way, saying, okay, how do we do this? Now, I love discussion in class, and so I hope you will be very willing to share your thoughts. I will tell you when you're wrong and that I am right, and then we'll just kind of move forward, or we'll just kind of take a look at where God speaks and grow together. So I hope you'll be here for our Sunday school starting next week. I did hit the button. Okay. So it's a little time delay there, I guess. Or maybe this comes before that one. Anybody know what, and it's, I pronounce it WYSIWYG. Anybody know what those things stand? Just raise your hand if you know what it stands for. Okay. Raise your hand if you have no clue what that stands for. good. I'm really proud that most of you don't have an idea. It's used in when you're putting together the web page and how it is, how it was developed. Okay? And one of the ways, maybe not platforms, I'm not probably good with the right words, is this series of letters. And it means what you see is what you get. WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. If you talked to the elders or participated in the hiring process of the preacher and you were like, oh, I want Jeffrey to come because I like the sermon that he had that one time when I met him that for that 1 hour, and now I'm going to place my whole life into those hands. Proud of you. I will tell you, what you see is what you get. I'm not going to be different up here than I am when I am in your home, or you're in my home, or when we go to the grocery store, which I don't even know where one is. You don't even have the same grocery stores that we had. But what you see is what you get. So what I want you to understand is, let me just first tell you a little bit about what you're getting. Because you already got them, and now you're stuck. My belief system is, you don't want to get rid of me that quickly because you really don't want to go through the process all over again. So here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a person who loves Jesus Christ. I do. I love Jesus. But you're going to get a very flawed person. You're going to get a person who makes mistakes, who doesn't always say the right thing or even the appropriate thing sometimes and has to back up. You're going to get a person who is not the perfect husband. We may not have the perfect marriage, but you're going to get someone who is devoted to each other and who loves Jesus Christ, who when I see things in my life that need to be changed and it's brought to my attention so that I learn that I need to change them, I want to be the person that will change. I want to be a person that loves to learn. Maybe how to get to your house might be the first thing I have to learn. I tried to go to Shane and Becky's house from Loganville. I don't know that you can go from point A to point V. I do know that it took us 20-some minutes to get there. When we left their house in the evening, it took us 40-some minutes to get home because we got lost, I don't know, a half dozen times along the way, and it's pitch black. My point is simply this. I don't know everything. And I'm not trying to come here to say, look at me, let me be your leader. You've got that. You've got shepherds within this church. You've got servants within this church. You've got ministry leaders within this church. You've got people who have helped this congregation to function every day, whether or not you had a quote-unquote full-time preacher or not. This church existed as the church which belongs to Jesus Christ. And it's because of your involvement. So I want to just simply come and be a part of that team. I want to see myself as a disciple of Jesus. I want to see myself as one who is striving to love more deeply, to help people in their spiritual walk. I don't have all the answers. I don't even have all the ideas. But I am so excited to get started. And I really hope you will help me as much as any way I can help you. So I put up here, what you see is what you get. In the prayers and in the end of class today, there's a point that was made that I thought was great. And I thought, did they look at my lesson plan? But they didn't. So they didn't have a chance for that. And that is, God doesn't see me for who I am. It's not what you see is what you get. God sees me not as the flawed person. God sees me as the saved person. God doesn't see me as that scared individual that's trying to figure out how to get started. God gives me His Spirit of strength, not timidity, of power, of self-control. God looks at me and He sees His child. And yes, that child can mess up, but He sees me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it's not what you see is what you get with God. What God sees is I am clothed with Jesus Christ. So God sees Jesus when He sees me. And my deepest desire is to live to that level. I want to be like Christ. I want to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I want to be the image of Jesus to the world around me. I'm looking forward to serving this community. And looking forward to learning how to do that. Because I don't know as much as you know. I don't know the people here. I don't know life. I have been for 24 years in a metropolitan area. Yes, it's a culture shock. That is a true statement. But at the same time, it's so exhilarating to say, God's brought me somewhere. What is God going to do? Would you pray with me? Now, Father in heaven, as we begin today, as we just breathe, we come before You and we thank You for being our God. We thank You for being our Father. We thank You for loving us, forgiving us, indwelling us. We thank You for Your strength. We thank You for the church and the brothers and sisters. We have the family of God that is present here today. We thank You for those who are graduating from high school and those who are graduating from higher degrees of learning who are ready for that next step in their life. And Father, we lift them up to You. We pray that today we will learn a little bit of a lesson from the calling of Abraham and help us to see that beginning and to see our beginning together as a family. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Abraham is probably the most well-known patriarch of the Old Testament. Abraham's story is not told in as much detail as the last third of the life of Moses. It's not told in as much detail, really, as the life of Joseph, from 17 all the way through the end of the book of Genesis. But Abraham is that patriarch that gets the beginning step. Abram was called by God and chosen by God to bless the entire world. That seems an overwhelming job. That through him, through his seed, all of the nations, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. So Abraham's father takes him and his wife Sarah and their family, and they leave the Ur of the Chaldees, and they go way up north to Haran. And while they're up there in Haran, God is going to call Abram. And he's going to tell Abram that he is going to make of him a great nation. In chapter 12, there we go. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and those who dishonor you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That last line, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed, actually goes back to, again, something that was mentioned already today. And that is, goes back to the book of Genesis. When God created everything, God already knew mankind would sin. I find that sad because we are His creation. But when that serpent, when that serpent, Satan, tempted Eve, I told you I'd say words that are wrong. He does so in such a way that brings her into a desire that she hadn't really thought about before, and causes her and her husband, Adam, to sin. And when God comes back and talks to them afterwards, He begins to lay down some of the curses, if you will, of sin. And He says to the serpent that one of those curses is that he would cause enmity, this warring, between your offspring, the serpent, the demons, if you will, and this future tense, the offspring of woman. And then He speaks and says, specifically, it's really of Jesus, that He, that offspring of the woman that would come, will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. We come to now to Abram, and we hear God say to Abram that through you I will bless every nation of the earth. I will give you the promise that was really begun when sin started. And it's going to be through you that that is going to happen. But the first thing you're going to have to do is go, is leave. Leave your country, your kindred, your father's house, the land, to a land that I will show you. Going can be a little scary. There's a lot of people who love to travel. How many of you like traveling? How many of you just like to travel? Good number of you enjoy traveling. Let me ask you just to be really honest. I don't want to fall off here. How many of you like to come home after you travel? Yeah. Why is that? Because traveling is exciting. Traveling is something new. You're experiencing something new. You're growing. You're maybe tasting new foods. You're seeing new things. You're meeting new people. You're enjoying life. But yet, you know that's not where you belong. And then when you come home, you come back and you kind of settle in. How would you like to be told, I want you to go, and there isn't going to be a settling in? I kind of feel that way at this moment in my life. But for Abram, I know they're nomadic people, and I know that they traveled a lot. But he says, I'm going to take you to a place, but I'm not going to define everything for you. Your job is to go. I want you to listen to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So today, we honor some graduates. Noah, Justin, and Ryan are all graduating from college. High school. I have it right on paper. And I love that you correct me. Normally, my wife does that. But I love that you guys do that. This is good. We're going to have a great relationship. And then Bryce, Tim, and Mason are all graduating from some higher degree of education, college, trade school type thing. For each of these young people, life is changing. And I don't care whether you're the parent, the grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, or you're one of these six people. There's got to be at least a little bit of anxiety inside you. Because life is changing. It's going to change the home dynamic. It's going to change for those who are graduating, whether they're going off to college or whether they're going and doing something else. Their life choices now are not centered around home. They are leaving mother and father. They are leaving kindred. They are leaving home. And life is going to be, they'll come back. Maybe more often than you want, but they'll come back. But it won't even be their bedroom. That's going to change. And it won't be their things. Those will have to kind of be moved out of the way. And life will have to happen. And they are going to go. To be called to go when you don't know where you are going has to be a little bit nerve-wracking. Last Sunday, I was preaching my goodbye lesson to a church in which I had ministered for 24 years. I had done at least half of the marriages of the people in that building. Of the children in that building, many of whom have only known me as their preacher, and many of whom I was at the hospital when they were born or at their parents' home when they first got back from the hospital. I had seen one who was just a little tiny girl watching her get married. And now she is pregnant with their first child. And Carrie and I had to say goodbye to that. We had to say goodbye to that, not fully knowing what the next day was going to bring. And that was scary. And it is scary to me. So here I am. That was Sunday, 1 week ago, Monday. We closed on our house and moved to Loganville. And Tuesday, I came into the church office here. And I didn't know anything. And yes, you are wonderful people, and you have loved on us so much already. But to say, Jeffrey, just get out there and go, I'm going to tell you, I got to have a GPS. I'm going to tell you, I don't know where to go. Just start. It can be scary. But I want you to see verse 4, Genesis chapter 12. So Abram went. Verse 1, God says to Abram, go. Verse 4, Abram went. And as the Hebrew writer says, he didn't really know where he was going. He didn't fully understand what was going to happen next. It says, you don't have to see the whole staircase just to take the first step. I'm thankful for that. I don't have to see every tomorrow in order to take the first step today. I do trust in the one who sees every tomorrow that gives me the strength to take the first step today. I do trust in him. And so as we now begin this journey together, you and I are taking some first steps, okay? You really don't know me. Some of you said, I would like to hire Jeffrey and Carrie. Or hire Jeffrey and we get Carrie for free. You got the better end on the freebie deal. We're beginning. We're starting. We're going to be working together. Not as a preacher and congregation. At least that's not my desire. But as a brand new family that just got a new member, a part of the family. So on Friday, you want to talk about Whirlwind Week. Monday, movers brought stuff over to Loganville. Friday, our youngest child got married. Technically remarried. They got married in December, but because of COVID, nobody was there. So Friday, we had all the family in, her family and our kids were all in. And we had a wedding on Friday. And a reception on Saturday. And a goodbye lesson on Sunday. And a pack up and move on Monday. And walk into an office on Tuesday. And I just want to sit down and say, man, I can't stand life. I just don't know tomorrow. But I had to keep going every day. I couldn't just stop. God didn't call me to stop. And we have welcomed now our newest daughter-in-law into our family. Obviously, we did in December, but got to kind of redo that on Friday. To some degree, I'm the in-law. I'm the new person coming in to an already established family. I don't know your history. You don't know a whole lot of my history. Some of us may want to keep it that way. Other of us may want to journey a little bit more closely together. But what I know is this. We have to go forward. We have to go forward. There isn't a matter of just saying, okay, now we got a preacher. Everything's going to be perfect. No, it's not. Because you didn't get the right preacher. You got me. And so you're going to get everything that goes along with it. But we're going to be going together. And you're going to be coming to me and you're going to be saying, you know, I think this would be a really neat thing for us to do. And I'm going to say, well, go talk to the elders or go talk to this ministry leader. And I'm going to get behind you and I'm going to say, I think it's a great thing too. Because God has called every one of us to go. And the question is, will we go? Have we went? Okay. Abram went. Today. Today we're going to have sandwiches and chips and we're going to love on our graduates and you're going to say hello to Carrie and I. What about tomorrow? What is our next step from here? Where do we go? Again, I know we don't have all the answers. I get that. What I do know is that we have to do this together. This is not going to become Jeffrey's church. It's not. And the beauty of when I was in Whitehall in Pittsburgh, after 24 years, it wasn't Jeffrey's church there. We were the family of God. And we just experienced life together. And we cried together. And we laughed together. And we experienced the hardships and the question marks and the difficulties and the births and the weddings and the joys and the ministries. But those things don't exist unless we go. We've got to move forward. And we've got to move forward together. Just before I left, by the way, I am so not a farmer. I'm a city boy that is just going to go wild over here. I'll be planting weeds instead of flowers. Before we left, a person who attended one of my community Bible studies brought me this little watering jug. He said, I want you to take it. And I want you to put it in your new office over there in Glen Rock. He said, I want you to think about this when you walk into that office. Because I want you to think of a specific scripture. And he quoted the scripture, and you probably know the scripture. Paul's doing the talking. He said, I planted, Apollos watered. Do you remember the very end of the scripture? God gave the increase. He said, don't forget that scripture. Your job, speaking to me, he said, God is sending you over there to do some watering. They're already planting. There's already people over there who are sowing the seed, and you'll get a chance to do that also. But as a preacher, as a minister, your job is going to be to water. Don't think it's your job to give the increase. I needed to hear that lesson. Because so often you think, they just hired the new guy. They've got all these expectations. If the church building isn't full the first Sunday, is it my fault? What's going to happen next? Are they going to like my style of preaching? I'm not really a preacher. I'm just a person. God gives the increase. We plant. We water. God gives the increase. We have to go. How many of you can name the 10 spies at the timeline of Moses sending out the 12 spies into the promised land? How many of you can name all 10 spies that came back that said, we cannot? Can anybody name the 10 spies? Well, your Bible knowledge is no better than mine. How many of you can name the 2 spies that said, we can? How many of you could do that? We'll say the 2 names together. We'll start with the C. Caleb and Joshua. Okay? Caleb and Joshua said, we can go. We can take this land. We can go into that unknown. But the thing is, it's not unknown to God. That's the great part. It was God's promised land. God had already won every battle. God had already taken every victory. It was just a matter of, will you go? The 10 came back. And through the power of persuasion, convinced the people of Israel, we can't. We're nothing but grasshoppers. They wandered for 40 years. Let me just close, number one. Let me just close by saying, I don't want to wander for 40 years. I don't want that. I don't want to just exist. I don't want to just be the Glen Rock Church of Christ that meets on Sticks Road. Everybody laughs at that in Pittsburgh. You really are in the sticks. Yes, the church building is on Sticks Road. I don't want to wander for 40 years. 2 of them said, we can do it. Fast forward 45 years. 40 years of the wilderness wandering. 5 years into Joshua's leadership of taking the people into the promised land, dividing the tribes up, and starting to give all the allotments of the land. Caleb says, I am 85 years old. My guess is because of the way God said everybody, you know, over the age of 20 is going to die in the wilderness except for Caleb and Joshua. My guess is Caleb is physically the oldest Israelite. He says, I'm 85 years old. And I'm as strong today as I was when God brought us into this land, Joshua, 45 years ago. Well, he ain't speaking to me because I'm not that strong and I wasn't that strong 45 years ago. But then he says this to Joshua, and I'm sure you remember it. When Joshua's giving out all the allotments of land, he says to Joshua, God said that where I put my feet, that would become my inheritance. Give me the hill country. Give me the hill country with the fortified cities and the giant people. Because if God is still with me, we'll take it. That's who I want to be. Give me the hill country. Now, physically, this is Glen Rock. You guys live on a hill. Give me whatever is out there because God has already fought the battle. It's not me that has to fight it. I just have to go. That's what I have to do. I have to decide that I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in being afraid that I'll say or do the wrong thing or not be the right type of person. I'm going to live in the grace, the love, the mercy, and the strength of Jesus Christ. And he will become my tomorrow and my today. And I just pray that you and I can journey together. We may not know what tomorrow brings, but we do know the one who holds tomorrow in his hand. So today, we're on our journey. And I don't know where you are on this journey. And maybe right now where you are on this journey is you're a little bit afraid. And maybe what you need more than anything else is for your family to just love on you, pray with you, be with you. Then that's the point of what this next song is about. It's not to come forward and say how bad you are. It's just to simply say, I need a little extra strength right now. Can we do this together? And the answer is yes. So maybe that's what you need to do. Wherever you are, if we can be of strength and love and hope to you, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing?